Our study tonight is on the patience of God, the attribute of God's patience. I want you to keep your Bible handy because I want to turn to several scriptures with you as we go through our study tonight. Just one verse in Romans chapter 15 and verse 5. Now the God of patience, that's what we want to talk about this evening. The God of patience. That's who God is. That's His attribute. He's a God of patience. And consolation, comfort, grant you to be like-minded, one toward another, according or after the example of Christ Jesus. Paul identifies the Lord, our God, here in different ways. Look in verse 13 what he says about Him. Now the God of hope. The God of hope. And then verse 33, the God of peace. What an enduring title that is given to the name of our God. Peter referred to Him as the Father of mercies. Maybe it was Paul, the Father of mercies. Peter said He's the God of all grace. He's the God of comfort. What an enduring title this is then in our text here. The God of patience. The God of patience. This word patience means to cheerfully endure. Cheerfully endure. And it's very much akin to the word that we often use, the Bible often uses, as long-suffering. It even interchanges these two words sometime, you'll see in the New Testament. Instead of using patience, it'll use long-suffering. Or instead of using long-suffering, it'll use patience. But it's the same word in certain places in the Scriptures. But it means cheerful endurance. The patience of the Lord, the long-suffering of the Lord. Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He's patient to usward, not willing that any of us should perish, but all come to repentance. And Peter said, account that the Lord is long-suffering, the long-suffering of our Lord, is salvation. And Numbers chapter 14 and verse 18, I love this passage. I love these passages that tells us like this. The Lord is long-suffering, great in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And you remember when the Lord told Moses, I'm going to show you My glory. And He put him in a rock, and he passed by, and he proclaimed the name of the Lord. He said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering. That's patience. Patient. The patient God. Forgiving transgressions and sins and iniquities. Keeping mercy for thousands. Long-suffering or patience is mentioned in the same sentence, in the same breath, as God's divine goodness and mercy. Stephen Shinnock, he was an old Puritan writer, and he had some interesting things to say concerning God's mercy and His patience. I wrote down some things. Let me read this to you. He said, patience is a part of the divine goodness and mercy. It's a part of divine goodness and mercy. But it differs from them both. God's slowness to anger is a branch of His mercy. The Lord is full of mercy, slow to anger. So those two go closely hand in hand. Because He's merciful, He's patient. He's slow to anger. Because the Lord is good and merciful, He's slow to anger. He's patient. Yet mercy and patience, he says, differ in this sense. And I like this. Mercy respects the creature, that is man, as he is miserable. Mercy looks upon us as we're miserable. But patience respects the creature as criminal. Mercy pities him in his misery. Patience bears with the sin which brought the misery. I like that, don't you? Mercy respects us in our misery. But patience respects us and bears up under our sin that brought the misery. So that's the difference between mercy and patience. Mercy and patience. When the Apostle Peter said, God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance, he is really saying, God patiently bears with our sinning until we're brought to repentance and salvation. Account that the long-suffering of our God is salvation. Aren't you glad, brothers and sisters, that God is patient? Where would you and I be if God wasn't patient? Through all our long life of sin, until he brought us to repentance, God was long-suffering to us. I want you to look over here, just to your left, in the same book, in Romans chapter 2. And look here in verse 3. Romans chapter 2 and verse 3. He speaks here of the long-suffering of the Lord, the patience of the Lord. In verse 3 of Romans 2, thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, ungodly things, as he's been talking about in chapter 1, and doest the same, that you shall escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and his forbearance, his tolerance, and long-suffering, his patience, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after your hardness and penitent heart, you treasure up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So what is it that bears up with us until we're brought to repentance? It's God's long-suffering, isn't it? His patience with us. We thank and we glory in the Lord Jesus saving that thief on the cross. And rightfully so, because there we see such grace magnified. In his dying hours, he saved that thief. And what could save a man that can do nothing but hang and die, but grace, such free grace and mercy? But we ought to think also this. What was it that bore with that thief through all of his days of sinning? Sinning against God and sinning against his fellow man. Living a criminal's life. If it hadn't been for the patience of the Lord, he'd have never lived to hang on that cross. He'd have never lived to be saved. And Saul of Tarsus, he talked about the grace that he obtained mercy. The grace of the Lord Jesus was exceeding abundant with faith and love. But not just in his salvation. Look at God bearing with Saul of Tarsus. In his self-righteousness, in his blasphemous religion, killing his children. Paul lived to be called and to be saved because of the patience of God. And you and I can express the same feelings, can't we? Many, many times we deserve to perish. Justice called for our everlasting overthrow. Satan called for it. The law called for it. Damn these people. They're miserable, they're wretches, they're sinners against God. What was the one thing then that kept you and kept me until our day of love and salvation? God's patience. He's the God of patience. Look over here back to your right, over here in chapter 9 of Romans. Look at this. Not just until he called us, until he calls all of his elect, but even the reprobate. The Lord is patient with those that he's left out of his election. Those who live to be old men and women and sin against him and are so hard-hearted towards him. And all of us have seen this. We have seen old men that were wrinkled up and weak, and yet they used God's holy name in vain. They never feared God. They don't fear going to hell. They don't fear death. Why does God let a person like that live? Well, there's only one answer for it. His patience. And look here what Paul tells us in the 9th chapter in verse 21 of Romans. Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endeared with, look at this, much long-suffering. Much long-suffering. the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. It's the same thing the Apostle Peter tells us when the Lord waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. He waited for 120 years. He waited. He was patient. He was so patient. And then the flood came and he took them all away. 120 years he waited. And when you and I look around us today and we see all the violence, we see sin, we see lust, and it seems like the world has just gone off into the murk and the mire of immorality. And it's not just out in the open and profane world, but look in the professing churches. I saw two preachers last night on TV. And both of them were supporting abortion and homosexual rights. And I thought, how can this be? Have we drifted this far that now we agree with and support immorality and murder in the name of God? So it's not just the world that's given over to this, but in Christendom. It's full of idolatry. We've thrown truth to the streets. And you wonder sometimes, how in the world can God put up with this matter? Why isn't His wrath just come and consumed everything and everybody? And there's only one answer. Much long-suffering. He's patient. He's patient. God is a patient God. And since patient isn't an attribute of God, it has nothing to do with man. It doesn't depend upon man. And this is one of the things that you and I have looked at before concerning the attributes of God. They do not depend upon man. God is not merciful because of what He sees in man. He was merciful before there was a man. Now mercy or misery or misery draws out that mercy. But His attributes is not dependent upon us. He doesn't look upon Terrence White and say, I love Terrence because I see something in Terrence. He doesn't give grace to a man because of what he sees in the man. God's attributes is of Himself. And when we talk about patience, that's what's in God. That's His attributes. What is it that enables Him to be patient? What enables Him? And that's a strange statement to make, ain't it? When we talk this way, what enables God? But you know, God has condescended and give us language in His Bible that we can use to understand Him by. If He didn't condescend and relate to us and speak to us, we couldn't understand a thing about Him. So when I say what enables Him, there's something that enables God to be patient, to be long-suffering. Right in the face of His enemies and in the face of sin. And what is that? I want to look at that with you just for a minute. I want you to turn over to Numbers. There's two things, I think, here in this Scripture that tells us what enables God to be patient. What enables Him to be long-suffering. And look here, you remember the context in Numbers chapter 14. Israel had sent out spies into the land of Canaan. They'd come back and 10 of those spies had given an evil report. Said, we can't take the place. You remember that story. Joshua and Caleb said, God's given us the land. Let's go in and take it. But everybody began to lift up their voice and say, oh, we can't go in. God's brought us out here to kill us. And let's make a captain and go back to Egypt. This confusion. Confusion. And the Lord said, let me alone. And Moses, I'll kill them, every one of them, and I'll make of you a great nation. This is the context in which this is written here. Look in verse 12. Numbers 14, verse 12. I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for you brought up this people in the sight from among them. Did I give you the right... Numbers 14, okay. Well, you brought up this people in thy sight from among them, in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people. and thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar far at night. Now, if you kill all these people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people unto the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Now, you remember when the Lord first told Moses this? Back there when he showed him his glory? Moses remembered that. When the Lord said, I'm the Lord, gracious, merciful, long-suffering. Now Moses remembers that, and he takes this to the Lord, and he said, Lord, remember what you said. You're long-suffering. What enables God to be long-suffering? Verse 17 hints at it. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great. What is it that lets God be long-suffering? It's His power. It's His power. I beseech thee, let the power of our Lord be great, according to how you've said it. The Lord is long-suffering. His power. Have you ever lost your patience with somebody? I mean, they tried your patience. And they brought you to the end of yourself. And here's really what you said. I don't have the strength to be patient anymore. Sometimes that's why we lose our patience. Why we get angry. Why we get upset, frustrated with somebody. We just don't have the power to refrain anymore. So we lose our patience. You know that's not so with God. His power restrains His anger. His power restrains His wrath. His power enables Him to be patient. Listen to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than a mighty man. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. He rules his spirit. God rules his spirit. He controls his anger and he controls his wrath. And that's called patience. When you have control over yourself, that's patience. And the reason we can't always be patient with people, we can't control our impatience. We can't control our anger. But God can. God can. Let the power of my Lord be great. Be long-suffering. It takes power. Does people abuse this? Well, sure they do. We do. Do we not? Let's be honest with ourselves. Don't we try our Lord's patience sometimes? Well, sure we do. We confess that, don't we? We hate ourselves for it. But we just have to be honest. Do lost men, do the wicked abuse this? Why, absolutely they do. When they hear about it, they use it as an excuse to go on in their sins. David said this about the wicked. Because judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily. If God don't smite them down as soon as they sin, you know what they say? There's no God. He don't care what we do. Because judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily, the heart of man is fully set in him to do evil. Sure, he abuses that. But aren't you glad that God's mercy is not, God's patience is not dependent upon man? It's what's in God. He regulates his patience. He don't look upon you and regulate it according to what he sees in you. He regulates it according to what's in himself. And secondly, not only power enables him to regulate and control his anger and his wrath, but he said there in verse 18, his mercy. Look at that. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy. If you really pity somebody, and that's what mercy is, it's pity towards the miserable. If you see somebody and they're miserable, and your heart of pity goes out to them, don't that enable you to be patient? I have a neighbor, and bless her heart, she's got so hateful in her old age. She's told me off now, I don't know how many times. Told her children off and her grandkids off. And she's so difficult to get along with. But you know, I pity her. And I don't lose my patience with her because I pity. She's a pack of bones. She probably weighs 70 pounds. Just looks like skin scratched over bones. She can't hardly lift her head up. And you sit there, and when she opens her mouth and says something hateful to you, it just goes in one ear and out the other. Because you see that poor old lady sitting there. And you think to yourself, how could I reprove her? Surely, how could I rebuke her? I pity her. So I let it go in one ear and out the other, and her children do too. You know, there's a good passage that tells us exactly this is so. God is patient with us because He's so merciful to us. He pities us. You don't see that? Look over here in Psalm chapter 103. Psalms 103. Very familiar scripture. And look in verse 8. Psalms 103 and verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious. And look here what else He is. Slow to anger. Patient. And plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He's not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Why not? Why so patient with us day after day? As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. You know why He restrains His anger towards us and His wrath, and He don't fall on us. He pities us. He pities us. Oh, He looks upon us, Shannon, and our dust and our unworthiness. And He said, oh, child, I pity you. I really pity you. And He's patient and He's long-suffering. Aren't you glad for the patience of our God? Now look back over at Romans. Two more things, and we'll close with this. Just two more quick things. Romans chapter 15 and verse 5. The God of patience. We're thankful for the God of patience and consolation. Grant you to be like-minded, one toward another. Now, if you study the context, let every man please his neighbor, even as Christ pleased not Himself, but the reproaches of them that reproached you fell on me. He's saying here, really and basically, be imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is a God of patience, and God grants you that you can be like-minded one toward another. Be like God. As your Father in heaven is perfect, seek to be perfect. Seek to be like Him. Be followers of God as dear children. Be patient. Be patient. Patience is the fruit of the Spirit. You find that in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and what? Long-suffering. Goodness, gentleness, long-suffering. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's why I have made this statement to you so many times. It's the easiest thing in the world to love somebody when the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. It's the easiest thing in the world to forgive somebody when you've obtained forgiveness yourself. It's easy. And it's easy to be patient. Listen now, see if this ain't so. It's easy to be patient when the Holy Spirit is working in us by His mighty power. You can even be patient and joyful in your hour of severe trials when He gives you strength, when He gives you power to be patient. Listen to Colossians 1:11. I want you to mark this down, but I want you to turn over there sometime at your leisure and read it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Ain't that amazing? You mean I'm facing this trial and I can be so patient that I'm joyful in it? If He strengthens you to that point, you can. You can. David said, I was in a horrible pit. I was in the miry clay where there was no standing. Now, if you can imagine being in a place like that, that's a severe trial. He said, I was sinking. I was sinking. But what did he say he did? Anybody remember? I waited patiently. How in the world could a man be sinking in quicksand? And said, I waited patiently. The Spirit of God strengthens us with His mighty power in our heart. That's what I say. Living the Christian life and being as our Father in heaven, merciful and kind and forgiving as He is and patient after example, it's easy when the Spirit strengthens us to do it. I tell you when we struggle, when we're dying to self. Ain't that so? When we get out here and we worry ourselves sick, boy, and we start struggling. We have to go back to our bedroom, get out on our face, Lord, I need strength. I need grace. We get up and go back, Lord, I ain't got enough strength. Give me strength. He gave us a strength, and don't He take it away? If you ever experienced that, boy, you're facing a trial, and it's an awful trial. It's fire until He gives you grace. He may not even take the trial away. The thorn may still be there. But boy, when He gives strength, then you can face it with patience and even a degree of joyfulness. There's two things that cause impatience in us. Many things, but here's two things. One is pride. Pride is one of the chief things that causes impatience in us. I don't deserve this trial. I just don't deserve to be tried like this. I deserve really better than this. I don't deserve to be persecuted. What did I do that I'm persecuted? I don't deserve this misfortune. Isn't that pride? What do we deserve then? If we're going on dessert, what do we deserve? Here's what the wise man said about this. He said, the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. When we get proud, we get impatient because I just don't deserve what I'm going through. I deserve better than this. That's pride, ain't it? Covetousness is another thing that makes us impatient. You ever get covetous? You ever get coveting something? Wanting something, you want something. And you won't wait on the Lord. You're going to get it, and you're going to get it now. And you get impatient. Listen to what Paul said about pastors. Not greedy of money, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetousness. Patient, not covetousness. Covetousness is something that will make us very, very impatient. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, and you've experienced this yourself, only the Spirit of God can subdue these things in us. We humble ourselves before the Lord. That's what we're told to do. But I tell you what, we cannot pull this pride from our heart. It's there by our nature, and like the one man said, I'm so humble that I'm not proud anymore. Pride. We're proud of our humility. And covetousness, people may not see it. You can clothe it behind, a look of contentment. But in your heart. And when the Spirit of God comes, boy, He can humble that pride. He can abase it. He can remove this covetous and show us where our true treasure is. Christ, our true treasure. And one last thing in closing is this. He said in the last portion of verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another after the example of Christ Jesus. You see the patience of Christ talked about in different places. John even talked about the kingdom and patience of Christ. Patience. Let Christ be our example and patience. Everywhere you see the patience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before the world was, He was set up to be the Redeemer of His people, to be the surety of His people, to come and do the will of God. And you know something? From that point, if we can say that, from the beginning to creation, He was patient. He patiently waited. From creation till He was born of a virgin, can you imagine how patient the Son of God was? Knowing that He was coming, and He rejoiced to come, and yet He was patient. And then when He got you and was born of a virgin, for the first 30 years of His life, you know we hear nothing of Him. But one time, He was 12 years old, and He wanted to go down and begin His Father's work. 12 years old. There in the temple, talking about the things of God. And He said, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? But from the time He was 12 years old until He was 30 years old, what did He do? We don't know, do we? He was probably a teenager, a holy teenager, submitted to His father and His mother, His earthly father and His mother. But you know, He didn't begin His ministry. He didn't begin doing openly the will of God until He was 30 years old. Can you imagine the patience that He had to exercise? And then patience with His disciples, patience with the ungodly, patience with those Pharisees, long-suffering to them. And then when He went to the cross and patiently endured all of the suffering that took to redeem us, went back up to heaven, and then He began to wait until each elect soul was brought to Him in repentance. And don't you think sometimes He has to exercise a lot of patience? Because, you know, so many of His elect people, some of them go until they're old before He brings them to Himself. Can you see Him watching them when they're born? Paul said, He separated me from my mother's womb. He's known me all my life. And there He patiently waited. And justice said, He needs to be put in hell. No, you ain't going to put Him in hell. He's mine. He's mine. What are you going to do with Him? I'm going to wait on Him. I've got a time. I've got a Damascus road. I've got a cross. I've got a time. I'm just going to wait. And He waits. You know what He said about a sinner being called to repentance? You know He says heaven rejoices. There's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. I wonder who that is. Well, it's probably saints if they know about it, but I tell you somebody else is rejoicing, and that's the Lord Jesus. You bet He's rejoicing because He said, I'm that shepherd, that I go after my sheep, and I search for my sheep until I find it. And when I find it, what does He do? He rejoices. He rejoices. Isn't it amazing that He has patience to wait until it's time to go looking for that sheep? And He puts it on His shoulders and He says, come rejoice with me. And you know the Lord is waiting. He's been waiting now for 2,000 years, hasn't He? The Lord Jesus Christ has been waiting for 2,000 years. And I don't know how much longer He's going to wait until He has all of His church, every last member of it, home in heaven with Him. So be patient. Let Him be our example of being patient. When the Lord saves us, one of the first things we begin to do is wait on Him. We spend a lot of time waiting on Him. Well, He waited too, didn't He? Let Him be our example. We don't want to get too anxious when we've did the will of the Lord. We patiently wait to obtain the promises. Let Christ be our example.